Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live here at Bridgestone Arena. Nashville Predators set to hit the ice in less than 30 minutes. I guess we're calling this July training camp. I don't know. Willie called it summer camp. I don't know what we're calling it. It's the return to play for the National Hockey League. Predators will have an exhibition game against the Dallas Stars on the 30th. And of course, later this week, or within less than a week, they will head to their hub city in Edmonton. Of course, game one against the Coyotes in the qualifying round will be on August the 2nd. Good to actually have these talks. It's been a while since we've had some live sports talk when it comes to hockey here in our city.
Yeah, a little jealous of you, by the way.
Sorry. Well, what do you mean jealous?
You get to watch. You're watching sports technically live. And
yeah, it's pretty cool. We were able to do this last week, although it is cold in here. But it is hot outside, so I guess it's a good balance, huh?
It's worth it.
Yeah, it is. Ian Fitzsimmons does a tremendous job on ESPN. Of course, you can hear him on ESPN Radio. Loves college football and loves sports, and we love talking to him. Ian, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Doing well. And by the way, yeah, it's a heat index over here in Dallas, Texas, of about 118 today. Don't be complaining about that the cold Bridgestone Arena, all right? And yeah, I'm jealous, too. You're getting ready to watch live sports. Now, last night, dude, during the show, I actually got hooked watching Angels and Padres. I mean, I forgot Eric Hosmer was even on the Padres, and I'm watching Angels and Padres. And I'm telling you, the level of excitement, I had to remind myself that this was actually on. This exhibition game was live and happening, and it wasn't some replay that I've been watching the last 4 months. So it is damn good to be having sports back. I just hope we keep everybody safe.
I know. This could be a really exciting week. Couple days, Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL. I mean, we actually could have some real stuff to talk about where, the last 4 months, it's been interesting, to say the least. So where are you on the college football? Because we talked about this earlier, Luke Fickell's comments, Cincinnati's head coach, which I didn't have an issue with what he said. I don't know how you feel about it, but where are you at on where you think we're headed for the fall?
I think all coaches are going to be optimistic. You know, my brother is a special teams coordinator and tight ends coach right there at Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Coach O, McGee, he said, look, hey, we're ready to play football. I mean, every coach is wired one way to go win. But they're not doctors. You know, they have no idea. Then they're not, infectious disease experts. So they're doing their job. They're trying in the best of their ability to get these guys, one, to be able to stay safe, two, to get ready to play football. And they, in my opinion, they don't have any more of a clue as to what is or isn't going to happen than you and I do.
Yeah.
I'm not a damn doctor. I have no idea. I know what I'm being told. From whether it's coaches, athletic directors, or, I talked to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey about a week and a half ago on air and off air. And it was pretty much the same message on and off air. He had a very, how do I put this? Realistic expectation when it comes to his level of optimism. He says he told me his level of optimism when it comes to whether we are or aren't going to have football, it ebbs and flows with reality. And I thought that was a perfect way to approach not just the game of football, right, which we all love, but the game of life right now. I mean, it changes day to day. So, when coaches talk about, whether we're going to play, we're not going to play, like how you keep the players safe. And I do believe, by the way, that the players are safer and under better care those elite medical staffs. Of whether it's Cincinnati, LSU, Vandy, Alabama, I do believe they're in a safer place. Hell, we would all be in a better place if we had the attention and medical staff of some of these Power Five schools. I mean, to be
right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But the to know whether we are or aren't going to play, man, who the hell knows? But from what I'm being told, is that we're going to have some form of football come the fall. And we'll have basically an official, from what I understand, and again, from what I've been told, by the end of the week, next week. So it's, come Thursday or Friday of next week. So we're looking, 8-9 days. I think we'll have a more, line as to what is going to happen. But right now, guys, I mean, it everything changes with reality. And reality and in this crazy world we're living in changes day to day.
By the way, I agree with you on the safer at school, because I know some coaches have said that, and people or commissioners and people will be like, come on. Then at home, I agree with you exactly what you just laid out. And, oh, by the way, the supervision probably is a lot better at school with the coaching staff and everything else than they probably get at home.
Oh, there's the rules out of my mind, man. the only problem that coaches have is, right now they're only allowed to be with them. I think it's either 6 or 8 hours out of the day, because now we're past voluntary workouts. So the big question you have is, what are they doing the rest of that time? Now some coaches have basically quarantined the team, and you go to the hotel, the dorm, and that's about it. Some happened. Remember a few weeks ago, you had a bunch of LSU players that were out, at a couple bars, and a bunch of them got COVID-19. So that's the biggest thing. But that's going to happen at home anyway. But they're not getting tested on a regular basis, and when you are, the medical care, if you do contract it, at these elite institutions, is going to be better than what you're going to get at home. I mean, I firmly believe that. It'll be better when I get here in Dallas, Texas.
Ian Fitzsimmons is on the line with
Disney
us.
Benefits.
Well, speaking of that, I'm going to pause the college football talk since you are in Dallas. There are three monster states when it comes to high school sports and especially football. Florida just came out and said, yeah, we're going to have fall sports. California came out and said, yeah, no, we're not going to have fall sports. Where is Texas on fall sports at this point?
Man, it was a report about a week and a half ago that the head of DISD, which is the Dallas Independent School District, was very skeptical that high school football was going to be played in Texas. And you talk about an excrement storm that one that one comment it went this whole state went spinning, because you don't have Friday Night Lights in Texas, Padna. Yeah, that's almost as big, if not as big, as saying there's no college and pro football. That is a lifeline for so many small communities. Heck, I just drove my girls and I went on a daddy-daughter trip all the way out to Red Lodge, Montana, to see my dad. That's a long-ass drive, too, by the way. I swear, I said I'd never do it again, but a pandemic hit. I wasn't going to an airport, and I wasn't getting on an airplane. So we loaded up the truck and drove.
How long was it?
It was awesome. If you've got kids, I can't, you mask up, they Clorox up, they were unbelievable, and it was memories made for a lifetime.
Awesome.
It was awesome. I mean, I went whitewater, horseback riding, you name it, man, hikes. It was an absolute blast.
Are we talking about 20 hours in the car one way?
That's about right, man.
Ooh.
I think total miles logged, and when you're talking about going up the Beartooth Pass, which Walter Cronkite called the most amazing thing his eyes had ever seen, well, let me tell you something. He was right. Hmm. And I've been to Disney, I've been to Ireland, the Cliffs of Moher, you name it, man, and the Beartooth Pass between Montana and Wyoming is the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. That alone was worth the over 3,000 miles logged and 49 hours plus in the truck. Total drive. We got out of the truck and we got in, and one of my, I can't remember which one of my daughters went, what's that smell? I'm like, that's. But it was worth it, dude. But I've been going back to Friday Night Lights. That's one where there was a report this morning I saw that 5A and 6A ball, big boy high school football, was already thinking about canceling. And you talk about a lifeline. My point of the story of that road trip was, we're driving through all these small towns in Texas, right, heading up through Wichita Falls and all the way to Amarillo, and you're going through Quanah, Texas, and Childress, and every one of them has a little high school football stadium, mm-hmm. And that is the lifeline of those communities. And if we don't have high school football, man, the little mom and pop shops, you know, the diner, the drive-in, the diner, you know, that is next to the high school football stadium, it's going to be packed every Friday night. You know, that's all going to suffer. And again, you got to keep the players safe, and people don't talk about the coaches enough, man. You got Nick Saban is what, 68 years old? I mean, go on down the list of Kerry Combs at Ohio State. How old? I mean, he has a fire of a 20-year-old. But how old is Coach Combs now? I mean, he's got to be mid-60s as well. So that's just a couple off the top of my head. I don't know how old Ted Roof is, a defensive coordinator Vandy is, but, you know, you got to keep all of these people safe. And some of these high school coaches, you know, are in their mid-60s, early 70s as well. That's the biggest thing is, we want the escape. We want the joy of the game, but you also have to do the right thing. And that is a very fine line, man, of trying to figure out how to do it. But if they don't have high school football here and across in Tennessee as well, right there in Nashville, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, I mean, those Friday nights are special. And if they don't have that, forget recession, man. We're going to be in a depression recession. But you have to also do the right thing, and that's a hard decision to make, man.
Without having, Ian, basically someone in charge of college football, somebody to come out, one voice,
which
right?
Should have been done years ago, but go ahead.
I know. I think this thing continues to grow. I think at some point they're going to be forced to do it because it just makes way too much sense. It makes no sense, really, at this point, not to have that one voice. But let's go for the sake of this conversation, there is going to be a season, and one conference is playing 9 games, and this conference is playing 10 games, and this conference played 8 games, and they played 11. How do you make all that work? I mean, you have to get everybody on the same page, and I don't know if they can do that.
The College Football Playoff Committee is going to need an open bar at the Gaylord Hotel in Irving, Texas. I mean, just roll in it all. I mean, Don Julio, 1942, to Tito's fine Texas crafted vodka. I mean, bring it all in, man, because they're going to need it. That's a question that I don't have an answer to.
Yeah.
You have to look at that those 8 games that maybe the ACC plays versus 10 games that the SEC may play. I've heard that the SEC may go conference only and a +1. So that +1 would keep, Texas, LSU intact, Arkansas, Notre Dame intact, you know, games like that. Maybe Alabama can play TCU at Jerry World, whatever it may be, who knows. But when you don't have, that extra data point, and that's something that, the Big 12 finally went to, going to a championship game. They didn't have that extra data point that the committee was being able to evaluate these teams. Like the SEC with their championship game, that gave them one more game to evaluate. And that's why the Big 12 actually finally said, all right, hell with it. Yes, we'll have a championship game to get that extra data point and for the College Football Playoff Committee. Well, who the hell? I've been told a million times that there's one word that has come up, whether I talked to Commissioner Sankey, whether it's Cole Kubrick, whether it's, Clay. I mean, you name it. They all say one thing. And it's one word that constantly comes up when discussing how football is going to look if we play. And that word is different. Every coach, every athletic director, I was talking to Jeremiah Donati from TCU 2 weeks ago, different came up. Rob Mullins at Oregon, different. I mean, that's the only thing I can tell you is, one, open bar for the College Football Playoff Committee. Two, it's going to be very difficult because it's going to be different because every conference is going to have, different data points, and it ain't going to be easy, man. And again, that's where a Power 5 commissioner needs to be in place. It should have been in place years ago. Nick Saban's talked about it. Dabo Swinney has talked about it. Urban Meyer talked about it. And it has fallen on deaf ears. Mark Emmert, all he does is look at his direct deposit every 2 weeks. That's all that man does. He gets paid a hell of a lot of money to do nothing as the head of the NCAA. Power 5 has long needed their own commissioner. And maybe this pandemic is actually going to get that done. Who knows?
Any idea who in your mind would be the perfect candidate?
Greg Sankey.
Hmm.
The man is wicked smart, and he is a realist. He's not an optimist. He's not a pessimist. He deals with reality. And again, just so unbelievably brilliant. He doesn't let emotion get involved. He is one of the more impressive men that I've met in athletics, college or pro. That hands down, boom. I don't know if he might be too smart to take the job. I say, remember when Colin Powell, I wanted him to run for president. He was too smart to run for president. So, I mean, I think he might be too smart to actually take that gig. But that's by far no hesitance. Wouldn't hesitate for one second. It would be Sankey.
I like it. I can't disagree with that. He's certainly impressive. We've had many, many dealings with Greg Sankey over the years, and yeah, I can't argue with anything you just said. Only thing I would say is you're a better dad than me, because I love my kid, but I don't know if I could do 40 hours
dude,
in the car.
I'm telling you, man, and my girls are 14 and 12, right? And they don't.
I got an 8-year old,
and they were amazing.
14 and 12.
I'm telling you, dude. I recommend it if you got vacation. Load up the truck and hit it, because it was an absolute blast. It really was.
Right.
Memories for a lifetime, man. And instead of the Beartooth Pass and turn around and drive back, you'll be good.
I think you might have sold me on this. Good stuff. Well done, Ian. Always good to talk to you. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Be well, boys. See you.
All right. Ian Fitzsimmons does a great job. ESPN, ESPN Radio, and you can tell his passion for football for sure. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.